بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah the Most High from the evils of our own selves and from our wicked deeds. Whoever Allah guides cannot be misguided, and whomever He leads astray cannot be guided. I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah alone, without a partner or associate. And I further testify that Muhammad is Allah's slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam also be granted to the Prophet's pure family and to all of his noble companions. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Oh, who you believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O mankind, be dutiful to your Rabb Allah, who created you from a single person, Adam, and from him Adam he created his wife Eve, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut the relations of the wombs, the kinship. Surely Allah is ever an all-watcher over you. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O who you believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him, and speak always the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds, and will forgive you your sins, and whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great success. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. It proceeds that the most truthful speech is that of Allah's book, the Quran, and that the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the worst of evils are the muhdathat, the newly invented matters in deen, and every innovated matter in deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a dalala, is a misguidance, and every dalala is in the fire of hell. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم خذوا عني مناسككم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, take from me your rights of Hajj. Hajj is an act of worship that must be devoted only to Allah. It is a declaration and a manifestation of the belief in the oneness and uniqueness of Allah. It is a time to call upon Allah to purify the self from any worship to other than Him. The Muslim who declares the talbiyah, لبيك اللهم لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك, understands that it is a dua that means, here I am, O Allah, here I am, here I am. You have no partner. Here I am. Surely all praise is due to you, and every bounty is from you. You and all dominion is yours, and you have no partner. The Muslim, therefore, should submit himself completely, mentally, spiritually, and physically, to Allah alone. No worship can be devoted to statues, tombs, religious leaders, righteous men, dead or alive, or any part of creation. The Tawheed of Allah requires the Muslim to follow the perfect way of worship, and this is the way, the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as understood by the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, who were the best of mankind. Hajj is to set for Mecca. What's the definition of Hajj now? The definition of Hajj is to set out for Mecca to worship Allah. To set out for Mecca to worship Allah by performing certain religious rites in accordance with the Prophet's Sunnah. This is the definition of Hajj. Hajj is to set out for Mecca to worship Allah by performing certain religious rites in accordance with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. In Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, 97, Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And pilgrimage to the house is a duty on mankind owed to Allah for whoever can find a way there. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى in سورة البقرة in chapter 2 verse 196 وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. And properly perform the Hajj and Umrah for Allah. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, مَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ وَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَعَ كَمَا وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. Whoever performs Hajj solely for Allah and in the course of it abstains from sensual and sinful acts, he will return as pure as on the day his mother gave birth to him. And this hadith is in al-Bukhari and others. Hajj and ubudiyyah to Allah. Hajj is an act of ubudiyyah to Allah. What is ubudiyyah? Ubudiyyah is a comprehensive term that asserts the meaning of Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, which we recite in Surah Al-Fatiha daily. You alone do we worship, and you alone we seek for help. This is the meaning of ubudiyyah. It comprises the slavery of the heart, tongue, and limbs to Allah the Most High. The slavery of the heart includes both the qawl, meaning the sayings of the heart, and the amal, and the actions of the heart. Now, what is the qawl? What is the saying of the heart? The saying of the heart is the belief. is the belief in what Allah has informed about His self, His names and attributes, His actions, His angels, all that which He revealed in His book and sent upon the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the qawl of the heart. This is the saying of the heart. So it is the belief, it is the conviction. What about the amal? The actions. The actions of the heart include love for Allah, reliance upon Him, turning to Him in repentance, fearing Him, having hope in Him, devoting the deen sincerely to Him, having patience in what He orders and forbids, having patience with His decrees and being pleased with them, having allegiance for His pleasure, having humility for Him, and humbling oneself in front of Him and becoming tranquil with Him. This is the amal, the action of the heart. Now, what about the qawl on the tongue? Now, the qawl, which is the saying of the tongue, is to convey what Allah has revealed in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah regarding Himself, His names and attributes, His actions, His commands, His prohibitions, and all of that which is related to His deen, to call to it, to defend it, and to expose the false innovations which oppose it, and to establish its remembrance and to convey what it orders. What about the limbs? The a'mal, the actions of the limbs, include salah, prayers, include hajj, include the attendance of the jum'ah prayers, include jihad, including the congregational prayers, assisting the weak, acting with goodness and kindness to the creation, and other such acts. So now we understand, therefore, the comprehensive meaning of ubudiyyah, of a slavery to Allah. This is the comprehensive meaning. This comprehensive meaning of the ubudiyyah is a special type. The people who fall under this type of ubudiyyah are the believers who obey, love, and sincerely follow the deen of Allah. Now, what is the second type of ubudiyyah? The second type of ubudiyyah is the general one, in which all creatures in the heavens and in the earth are subdued to Allah's sovereign authority and power. Everything is subservient to His will and authority. Nothing occurs or ceases to occur except by Allah's leave. His is the kingdom, and He disposes the affairs as He pleases. This type of ubudiyyah is known as the ubudiyyah of qahr, ubudiyyat al-qahr, which means subduing, and mulk, sovereignty, kingship, possession, mastership, etc. This type of ubudiyyah, the general one, is known as the ubudiyyah of subduing, of mulk, sovereignty, kingship, possession, mastership, etc. None escapes this ubudiyyah. None escapes this ubudiyyah. So, when we read now in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, the part of the verse إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُد, you do, we worship, asserts the adherence to the four principles of ubudiyyah. Adheres, or asserts rather, the adherence to the four principles of ubudiyyah. And now, what are they? We just covered them and mentioned them earlier. They are the sayings of the heart, the actions of the heart, the sayings of the tongue, and the actions of the limbs. We repeat, the sayings of the heart, the actions of the heart, thirdly, the sayings of the tongue, and the actions of the limbs. This is when we say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُد. Now, the second part, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُد وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِين, you alone do we seek for help. This part stresses the fact that the believer must ask Allah alone to help him establish the ubudiyyah and succeed in executing all what it requires. This means, therefore, that the believer must ask Allah alone to help him establish the ubudiyyah and succeed in executing all what it requires. This is the meaning of ubudiyyah, illustrated in this verse which we recite daily, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Contemplations. Hajj is a journey that was taken by prophets and messengers before you. Those who take by the path of the prophets magnify the Tawheed of Allah and His house. There are those, however, who come to perform Hajj and their hearts are attached to other than Allah. They invoke the dead and the righteous, whether present or absent. This is the opposite of Tawheed. It is shirk, no matter what they call it, because it is setting up rivals beside Allah. So, free your intention from any kind of devotion to other than Allah. Repent and come with a sincere heart, submitting to Allah, remembering what Ibrahim and his son Ismail said when they were raising the foundations of Allah's house, the Kaaba. As Allah told us of that in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:128. ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. O our Rabb, accept from us and make us submit to you in Islam, and show us our manasik, all rites of Hajj, and accept our repentance. You are set to depart, and you may or may not return to your home. You may even not reach Hajj. You may not even reach Mecca. Make this journey to Allah's house as Allah wants it, from start. Think of the next journey that is surely coming, the one that leads to the meeting of Allah Most High. This raises questions like, what did I prepare for that day? Am I following Allah's commands? Am I a follower of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do I really know of Allah? Am I a believer that Allah is above the seven heavens over His Arsh, as He has stated in His book, and as His Messenger had asserted? Am I a believer that Allah has a true face that suits His Majesty, as He has affirmed in the Quran and has been affirmed by His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Am I a believer in all of Allah's names, attributes and actions which He has affirmed in His book and by His messengers? Or do I just take and accept by my doubt, rejecting or distorting the meanings of Allah's names and attributes? Allah Ta'ala in Surah Sad, وَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And invoke not any other ilah, God, along with Allah. La ilaha illahu. None has the right to be worshipped but He. Everything will perish save His face. His is the decision, and to Him all shall be returned. No, may Allah's mercy be upon me and you, that when you reach the miqat, the station for initiating your state of ihram, when you reach the miqat, there is another station, there is another miqat that is still to come. It is the miqat, the appointed meeting on the day of resurrection, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in 57:49-50. قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لَمَجْمُعُونَ إِلَى مِيقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, yes, verily those of old and those of latter times all and will surely be gathered together for an appointed meeting of a known day. When you start saying the talbiyah, لبيك اللهم لبيك. Remember the command of Allah to Prophet Ibrahim عليه السلام. As Allah tells us, وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق. And proclaim to mankind the Hajj. They will come to you on foot and on every lean camel. They will come from deep and distant wide mountain highways to perform Hajj. The talbiyah you make is in response to Prophet Ibrahim's proclamation to visit Allah's house of worship. Allah is most great, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon entering Mecca, remember that you are in the secure sanctuary. When you enter Mecca, remember that you are in the secure sanctuary. قال الله تعالى about this, أولم نمكن لهم حرما آمنا يجبى إليه ثمرات كل شيء رزقا من لدنا ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون. Here we have we not established for them a secure sanctuary, meaning Mecca, to which are brought fruits of all kinds, a provision from ourselves, but most of them know not. Let one commit himself to repentance, having a good opinion of Allah. Let one commit himself to repentance, having a good opinion of Allah. Let one commit himself to repentance, having a good opinion of Allah, hoping that Allah will grant him security from his punishment. You will enter one of the gates of Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Then there you are before the magnificent house of Allah, the Most High, the Kaaba, right in front of your face. Now, you see what you hope to see for a long time. Gratitude. Thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for making this possible. And hope that He, the Most Mighty, the Most Magnificent, will grant you the greatest reward of seeing His majestic face on the day of resurrection. This thankfulness is not just saying Alhamdulillah, but also by obeying Allah while on Hajj and for the rest of your life. You start your tawaf circulating the Kaaba, knowing that it is a great time for magnifying Allah the Exalted. Remember Him by His names, attributes and actions. Remember His paradise and remember His hell. Also, while in tawaf, try to reflect upon the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was prevented from doing the same thing you are doing today. Then think about what He did in clearing out the site from the symbols signifying worship to other than Allah. All idols were demolished. Busy yourself with dua. Busy yourself with dua. Ask Allah the Most Great to make you hold to the correct belief and path of the Salaf and make you die on it. Ask Allah to save you from all forms of shirk and bid'ah. While on the sa'i, while performing the sa'i, the steps between Safa and Marwa, contemplate on Hajar, the mother of Ismail, when she asked her husband Ibrahim alayhi salam, did Allah order you to do this? Did Allah order you to do this? Meaning leaving her and her baby Ismail in Mecca? He said, yes. Her great response was, then he, Allah, will not neglect us. Then he, Allah, will not neglect us. Then he, Allah, will not neglect us. Ponder about this meaning, what it really means. Think about this great dependence upon Allah when you are in the sa'i, walking the same path which Hajar took in search for water and for the means of life around the mounts of Safa and Marwa. Think about her endurance, perseverance, and trust in Allah. The sa'i exemplifies the strong belief that we are in need for the one who sustains and provides. Reflect on this. The sa'i exemplifies the strong belief that we are in need for the one who sustains and provides. Allah the Exalted. Think about Ibrahim's invocation on his way homeward to Palestine. As Allah told us about it in Surah 14, 37. ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. O our Rabb, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in a valley with no cultivation by your sacred house, in order, O our Rabb, that they may offer prayers perfectly. So fill some hearts among men with love towards them. And O Allah, provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks. Men and fruits came to Mecca from many places. Ibrahim returned to visit and later to share with his son Ismail the noble task of raising the foundations of the Kaaba. The standing of Arafah on Arafat is the Hajj. The standing on Arafat is the Hajj. The crowds should remind you of the day of resurrection. Humble yourself to Allah and manifest your ubudiyyah to Him alone through dua and sincere intention and strong determination to free yourself from the sins of the past and to build up a commitment to rush for doing what is good. Think of becoming a better person when you return. Rid yourself of the false pride and showing off, because it may ruin what you may gain on this day. You gathered the petals and you are about to embark on stoning the jamarat. This is an act of obedience and remembrance of Allah most magnificent. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إذا رميت الجمار أو الجمار كان لك نوراً يوم القيامة. When you cast the small petals at the jamarat, it will be a light for you on the day of resurrection. And this is reported by Al-Bazzar in his Zawaid on the authority of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. And Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar reported that its isnad, its narration is hasan, is good. And Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah reported it in his As-Silsila Sahiha. When performing the sacrifice, remember the saying of Allah the Most High, لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. It is neither their meat nor their blood that reaches Allah, but it is your devotion that reaches Him. When you have completed your Hajj, do not think that the remembrance of Allah has ended. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمْ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. So when you have accomplished your manasik, the rites of Hajj, remember Allah as you remember your forefathers, or with a far more remembrance. Now, if you go to Medina, then the objective of your visit should be according to the Sunnah and not Bid'ah. The objective of your visit to Medina should be according to the Sunnah and not Bid'ah. Your intention is to set on a journey to visit the Prophet's mosque. Your intention is to set on a journey to visit the Prophet's mosque and not his grave. Your intention is to set on a journey to visit the Prophet's mosque and not his grave. When you reach the mosque, when you reach the mosque and you pray upon entering, then you may go to the grave and say, As-salamu alayka ayyuha an-nabi. The same salam is also mentioned when you pass by Abu Bakr and Umar without innovations. The position of the scholars regarding the visiting the grave sites by women can be summarized as follows. Number one, disliked but not unlawful. The second, allowable if done infrequently. If a woman is known as being unable to behave herself within the limits of Sharia at a grave site, then she should be prevented from visiting the grave. The third opinion, forbidden and a grave sin. Many scholars state that women visiting the Prophet's mosque may pronounce the salam upon the Prophet's away from the grave site, since it is confirmed by many hadith that the salam is related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wherever the person may be. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in a state of barzakh, a state of existence that begins with death and lasts until the day of resurrection, the nature of which is only known to Allah the Most High. So the same salam is also mentioned when you pass by Abu Bakr and Umar without innovations like the visiting the grave of the Prophet before praying in the mosque, like making dua facing the grave, like seeking nearness to Allah by means seeking nearness to Allah by means of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a prohibited form of tawassul. Seeking nearness to Allah by means of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a prohibited form of tawassul, of drawing near to Allah, or seeking means of nearness to Allah. This is meaning of tawassul. Fourth, seeking intercession from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also forbidden. 5. Placing the hands upon the grills around the room containing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grave to seek blessings, etc. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا قَبْرِ عِيدًا, won't make my grave an Eid, a place of celebration. Won't make my grave a place of celebration. Eid. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. May Allah's curse be on the Jews and the Christians for taking the graves of their prophets as places of worship. And this is collected by Abu Dawood. And its isnad, chain of narrators, is Hassan, is good, as stated by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانُوا يَتَّخِذُونَ الْقُبُورَ مَسَاجِدٍ أَلَا فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْقُبُورَ مَسَاجِدٍ فَإِنِّي أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. Those before you took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. Do not take There is a need for correction. With the hadith on وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا قَبْرِ عِيدًا, don't make my grave a place of celebration. This is the hadith which is collected by Abu Dawood and graded as Hassan by Sheikh Al-Albani. The other hadith, may Allah's curse be on the Jews and the Christians for taking the graves of their prophets as places of worship. This is, by the way, collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim as well. Now, in the third hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كانوا يتخذون القبور مساجد ألا فلا تتخذوا القبور مساجد فإني أنهاكم عن ذلك. Those before you took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. Do not take graves as places of worship, for verily I forbid you to do so. And this is in Sahih Muslim. This journey is not meant to gain any material reward. It is a selfless sacrifice solely for Allah, Most Majestic. It demands through love and fear of Him. It should be performed with full consciousness of one's heart, with full humility and submission to Allah. It should not be thought of as a tourist type exertion, or be performed as mere physical rites. It should not be thought of as a tourist type exertion, or be performed as mere physical rites. It develops sincerity, piety, humility, self-control, sacrifice, and the true knowledge of the meaning of submission and obedience to Allah Most High. It helps the pilgrim to be a better person who is devoted to Allah in every aspect of his life. What is to be done prior to Hajj and or Umrah? The Muslim should, number one, purify his creed, his aqidah, from any aspects of shirk, greater or lesser, as shirk destroys one's deeds. Second, devote his Hajj purely and sincerely for Allah. Third, sincerely repent for all of his sins. Fourth, acquire knowledge about Hajj and its rites. Fifth, use halal, lawful means to support this journey, taking what he will require, meaning not begging while on Hajj to meet his needs. Six, record all of his debts and include them in his Islamic will. and include them in his Islamic will. Seven, relieve himself from any kind of injustice which he may have inflicted upon others. Relieve himself from any kind of injustice which he may have inflicted upon others. 8. Secure the needs of his family members whom he leaves home. Secure the needs of his family members whom he leaves home. 9. Accompany the knowledgeable and righteous Muslims. Accompany the knowledgeable and righteous Muslims and stay away from innovations and or innovators. Accompany the knowledgeable and righteous Muslims and stay away from innovations and or innovators. 10th, perform Salah on time and as prescribed during the journey and during the Hajj period. Not to neglect the Salah. Perform Salah on time and as prescribed during the journey and in the Hajj period. 11. To safeguard the tongue from backbiting, arguing, complaining, and so forth. Safeguarding his tongue from backbiting, arguing, complaining, and so forth. 12. Keep his beard and not shave it for Hajj or for any other reason. This is forbidden. Keep the beard. 13. Remember that it is unlawful for men to wear gold, rings included. Remember that it is unlawful for men to wear gold, rings included. 14. The Muslim should remember that his Hajj is valid when the following pillars of Hajj are performed. So now, what are the pillars of Hajj? 1. Ihram. 1. Ihram, which is intention of performing the rituals at any one of the 5 miqats, the appointed boundaries. Intention of performing the rituals at any one of the 5 miqats. The miqat is the appointed boundary. This is known as the state of ihram. This is different from putting the ihram closed. So remember that. This is known as the state of ihram. So this is the first thing. Therefore, the first pillar is ihram. The second is wukuf, standing on Arafat. Wukuf, standing on Arafat. The third, tawaf, walking 7 times around the Kaaba. Walking 7 times around the Kaaba. Fourth, as-sa'i, the walk made between Mount Safa and Mount Marwa, a total of 7 one-way trips beginning at As-Safa. A total of 7 one-way trips beginning at As-Safa. I will repeat, As-Sa'i. The walk made between Mount Safa and Mount Marwa. A total of 7 one-way trips beginning at As-Safa. Missing any of these pillars, whether intentionally or unintentionally, invalidates one's Hajj. Missing any of these pillars, whether intentionally or unintentionally, invalidates one's Hajj. These are the pillars of Hajj. Now, there are obligatory acts of Hajj. These are known as wajibatul Hajj, obligatory acts of Hajj. What are they? Number one, ihram, putting on the clothing of ihram. Number one, ihram, putting on the clothing of ihram. Second, wukuf, standing on Arafat until the sun sets. Until the sun sets. Three, staying one night at Muzdalifah. Staying one night at Muzdalifah. This is after moving from Arafat. Four, staying in Mina. All of these places are in Mecca. Staying in Mina during the days and nights of Tashriq. Staying in Mina during the days and nights of Tashriq, and they are the 11th and the 12th of the month of Dhul-Hujjah, for those leaving before the sun sets on the 12th, and the 13th for those remaining. I'll repeat, because either you're going to stay 2 days and nights or 3 of the month of Dhul-Hujjah, which is the 12th month of the Islamic calendar. Staying in Mina during the days and nights of Tashriq. These are the 11th, 12th and 13th. Now, the 11th and 12th, for those leaving before the sun sets on the 12th day, and the 13th for those remaining. 5. Stoning the Jamarat with petals. Stoning the Jamarat with petals. 6. Shaving or clipping the hair. Shaving or clipping the hair. 7. Farewell tawaf. Farewell tawaf. Except for menstruating women. Farewell tawaf. Except for menstruating woman. According to many scholars, if any of the above actions is missed, if any of the above actions which we mentioned now is missed, the person should make up for that by offering an animal as a fidya, a compensation. An animal is, we continue, according to many scholars, if any of the above actions is missed, the person should make up for that by offering an animal as fidya, compensation. An animal is sacrificed and distributed to the needy of the haram. This is based upon the saying of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who said, a person who forgets an act of the rituals of Hajj or intentionally abandons it, let him shed the blood of a sacrificial animal. Other scholars indicate that this is an ijtihad, a scholarly opinion on the part of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, since there is no authentic report that the Prophet ﷺ actually ordered such compensation. And Allah knows best. Our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah holds the opinion that if the person violating an obligatory ritual is unable to compensate by slaughtering a sacrificial animal, then he or she should sincerely repent and ask Allah for forgiveness, and that there is no fasting upon him or her. Now, there are prohibited acts during ihram. There are prohibited acts during the state of ihram. What are they? These are collectively known as mahdhuratul ihram, prohibited acts during ihram. Mahdhuratul ihram. Number one, clipping or shaving the hair. Clipping or shaving the hair. If the pilgrim shaves his hair because of ailment in his or her scalp, then he or she must compensate by doing one of the three choices. If the pilgrim shaves his hair because of ailment in his hair, in his or her scalp, then he or she must compensate by doing one of the three choices. Number one, 3 days of fasting. 3 days of fasting. B, offering an animal sacrifice, sheep or goat. Or C, feeding six poor people. So this is concerning the clipping or shaving the hair. This is from mahdhurat al-ihram, the prohibited acts during ihram. Second, clipping one's nails. Clipping one's nails. Third, wearing makhit for males. And this is parts of clothes that shape, or clothes that shape certain parts of the body, like underwear. Four, performing or perfuming after ihram. Perfuming after ihram. Perfuming after ihram. And this is always prohibited for women if the scent would reach non-mahram men. Remember, this is always prohibited for women if the scent would reach non-mahram men. And this applies to any scent, not just perfume. This applies to any scent, not just perfume. Five, males directly covering their heads. Males directly covering their heads. Six, marriage contract. Six, marriage contract. It is a sinful act, and the contract is invalid during the state of ihram. The Prophet ﷺ said, A muhrim must not marry himself, nor arrange the marriage of another one, nor should he make the proposal of marriage. This is recorded by Muslim. However, there is no evidence that necessitates a fidya, a compensation, upon finalizing a marriage contract in a state of ihram. There is no evidence that necessitates a fidya, a compensation, upon finalizing a marriage contract in a state of ihram. Number 7. Sexual advances towards one's spouse. Sexual advances towards one's spouse. Number 8. Repeat number 7. Sexual advances towards one's spouse. Number 8. Deliberate sexual intercourse. Number 8. Deliberate sexual intercourse. This is a sinful deed which invalidates the Hajj if it takes place prior to the stoning of one of the Jamarat, known as Jamratul Aqaba, on the day or on the morning of day 10. We repeat. It is a sinful deed which invalidates the Hajj if it takes place prior to the stoning of Jamratul Aqaba on the morning of day 10. Both must repent, listen carefully, both must repent, continue the rituals, Jamratul Aqaba, both must repent, continue the rituals, make up the Hajj in the next year, without delay, and offer an animal, camel or cow, as compensation. I will repeat this. It is sinful deed to have deliberate sexual intercourse. This invalidates the Hajj if it takes place prior to the morning or to the stoning of Jamratul Aqaba on the morning of day 10. Both must repent, continue the rituals. So we have three things here: repentance, continue the rituals, make up the Hajj in the next year without delay, and fourthly, offer an animal, camel or cow, as fidya, as compensation. If the wife unwillingly yields to the intercourse, then there is nothing upon her, and her Hajj continues to be valid. If the wife unwillingly yields to the intercourse, then there is nothing upon her, and her Hajj continues to be valid. If, on the other hand, this deliberate intercourse takes place after the stoning of Jamratul Aqaba, and before Tawaful Ifada, this is the Tawaf of Hajj, then according to the majority of the scholars, the Hajj is not invalidated, but a fidya, one sheep or goat, or one seventh of a camel or a cow, offering is a must. I will repeat. If, on the other hand, because the timing here differs, if on the other hand this deliberate intercourse, if it takes place after the stoning of Jamratul Aqaba, not before it, however before the Tawaf of Hajj, which is Tawaful Ifada, this is the main Tawaf, then according to the majority of the scholars, the Hajj is not invalidated, however, there is a fidya, compensation, one sheep or goat, or one seventh of a camel or a cow. Offering is a must, and to be distributed to the poor in the haram. Continuing now. This is concerning point 8, and it requires this clarification. 9. Hunting wild animals is prohibited during state of ihram. Hunting wild animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, 95, what means, O who you believe, kill not game while you are in a state of ihram, meaning for Hajj or Umrah, and whoever of you kills it intentionally, then the penalty is an offering brought to the Kaaba of an eatable animal, sheep, goat, cow, etc., equivalent to the one he killed, as adjudged by two just men among you, or for expiation, he should feed masakeen, poor persons, or its equivalent in sawm, in fasting, that he may taste the heaviness, punishment of his deed. There is, now, listen to this very carefully, concerning these prohibited acts during ihram, there is no expiation if what is prohibited in the state of ihram is done out of ignorance, forgetfulness, or against one's will. There is no expiation if what is prohibited in the state of ihram is done out of ignorance, forgetfulness, or against one's will. Now, what are the prohibited acts within the presence of the haram, within the boundaries of the haram? Within the boundaries of the haram, there are prohibited actions. And what is the haram anyway? Haram, quote unquote, the forbidden, inviolable. This is the name of the sacred areas of the two cities of Mecca and Medina. Certain things and functions are forbidden within its boundaries while being permitted elsewhere. The boundaries of the sacred area in Mecca are marked. The boundaries of the sacred area in Mecca are marked. And they are, number one, Tan'im, 6 kilometers to the north. Second, Adatu Laban, 12 kilometers to the south. At Tan'im, 6 kilometers. Tan'im, 6 kilometers first. The other is 12 kilometers to the south. Third, Al-Ju'rana, which is 16 kilometers to the east. Fourth, Wadi Nakhla, which is 14 kilometers northeast of the city. Fourth, Wadi Nakhla, which is 14 kilometers northeast of the city. And fifth, formerly Al-Hudaybiyah, which is 15 kilometers to the west. This is in Mecca. the sacred area in Medina lies between the two mountains, the two mountain Eid, south of the city, and the mountain Thawr, which is a red mountain to the north of the city beyond the Mount Uhud. I will repeat. The sacred area in Medina lies between the two mountain Eir, south of the city, and Thawr, which is a red mountain to the south, or to the north rather, of the city beyond the Uhud mountain. So, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ibrahim declared Mecca sacred and made supplication for its people. Ibrahim alayhi salam declared Mecca sacred and made supplication for its people, and I declare Al-Madina, and I declare Al-Madina to be sacred as Ibrahim declared Mecca sacred. This is an agreed upon hadith. Here there is a point of benefit. Contrary to what is stated by many Muslims, as well as in the news media, there is no haram that is legally assigned to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the farthest mosque, or Masjid Ibrahim in Hebron, in Palestine. There is no haram that is legally assigned to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Al-Quds, in Jerusalem, or Masjid Ibrahim alayhi salam in the city of Khalil, which is Hebron in Palestine. This is incorrect. It is famous but incorrect. And that's why they say Haramul Masjid Al-Aqsa, and they say Haram Masjid Ibrahim. This is famous but incorrect. Now, after this, what are the actions that are forbidden in this haram sanctuary? Number one, game hunting, chasing or disturbing or molesting. Repeat, game hunting, chasing or disturbing or molesting. Although it is a sinful act, there is no prescribed penalty for game hunting in the haram territory of Medina. Although it's a sinful act, there is no prescribed penalty for game hunting in the haram territory of Medina. Haram sanctuary. Second, not to be violated. Second, now, cutting thorny bushes. Third, cutting trees and vegetation, fresh grass. Except in Medina, where a man may take from the trees for the fodder of his camel. This has been reported by Abu Dawood in his Sunan. And the hadith is graded as authentic by the Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam excluded one kind of grass, which is called al-idkhir. The Prophet ﷺ excluded one kind of grass, which is al-idkhir, from the forbidden list in the Mecca haram. This kind of grass is used by goldsmiths and as a protective layer in the roofs of houses built from mud. It is also inserted between mud blocks laid above the deceased in the grave. Some scholars permit taking from the grass of Medina haram as well. And they also state that what is grown or planted by humans is not unlawful to cut. Fourth, al-luqata. What is al-luqata? Dropped articles. An article found, more precisely, picked up. This is the meaning of luqata. This is forbidden in the haram boundaries. Al-luqata, dropped articles, article found, or more precisely, picked up. The Prophet ﷺ stated, things dropped or fallen in it, in the haram territory, should not be picked up except by the one who would announce it publicly. Things dropped or fallen in it, in the haram territory, should not be picked up except by the one who would announce it publicly. This is an agreed upon hadith. Number 5. Carrying weapons. Carrying weapons. Except in dire necessity. Carrying weapons. Except in dire necessity. And this is the position of a great number of scholars, as Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah stated in his commentary on Sahih Muslim. Types of Hajj. Types of Hajj. First type of Hajj. Please listen carefully. Types of Hajj. First type of Hajj. Hajj al-Tamattu'. Tamattu', which means enjoyable Hajj. Tamattu'. How is this? This is Umrah and Hajj are combined, but a separate intention, Ihram, is made for Umrah, and a new intention, Ihram, is made for Hajj after completion of Umrah. I will repeat. Hajj al-Tamattu'. Umrah and Hajj are combined, but a separate Ihram intention is made for Umrah, and a new Ihram is made for the Hajj after completion of the Umrah. After completion of the Umrah. The new Ihram, when to make it? The new Ihram is made on the 8th of the Dhul Hujjah, the month of Hajj, of Dhul Hujjah, the 12th month. On the 8th day, the new Ihram is made on the 8th day for performing the rites of Hajj. For performing the rites of Hajj after the Umrah is done. So, some details. This is the enjoyable or tamattu', Hajj al-Tamattu'. Therefore, the pilgrim makes Ihram, Tawaf, and Sa'i, and then clips the hair. So, this is how actions to be done now. Ihram, Tawaf, Sa'i, then clip the hair. After this, he leaves the state of Ihram for completing the Umrah. After this now, after he clips the hair, he has left the state of Ihram having completed the Umrah. Now, when the 8th day comes, on the 8th day of the month, he makes Ihram intention for Hajj and performs all the rites of Hajj. We will repeat. Hajj al-Tamattu' means Umrah and Hajj are combined, but a separate Ihram for each one is to be made. The new Ihram is made on the 8th day of the Hijjah to perform Hajj. So, altogether, therefore, the pilgrim makes the Ihram, Tawaf, Sa'i, and then clips the hair. After this, he leaves the state of Ihram, having completed his Umrah in this way. On the 8th day of the month, he makes Ihram intention for Hajj and performs all the rites of Hajj. This is the first type. The second type. Second type is called qiran, combination. The second type is called qiran, which means combination. And this is Umrah and Hajj are combined in one state of ihram. You see, earlier they had separate in the first one. Here, Umrah and Hajj are combined in one state of ihram. At ihram, at the time he wants to make the ihram, at ihram, the pilgrim intends Hajj and Umrah. Or Umrah first, then intends Hajj with it before starting the tawaf of arrival. I will repeat. Qiran, combination. Umrah and Hajj are combined in one state of ihram. At ihram, he intends Hajj and Umrah, or he may do it this way. Umrah first, then intends Hajj with it before starting the tawaf of arrival, because there is tawaf when you arrive, circulating the Kaaba. Tayyib. So, the pilgrim makes tawaf and sa'i. He or she must stay in this state of ihram if he carries a sacrificial animal with him or her until he completes the Hajj. If he did not carry a sacrificial animal, he should change to the former type of Hajj and come out of ihram by clipping his hair. I will repeat. If he did not carry a sacrificial animal, he should change to Hajj al-Tamattu, the first one, and come out of ihram by clipping the hair. He may delay the first sa'i and perform it later with the tawaf of Hajj. He may delay the first sa'i and perform it later with the tawaf of Ifada, or the tawaf of Hajj. Some scholars state that anyone who has not brought a sacrificial animal with him should leave the state of ihram after performing the Umrah, as in the case of Tamattu type, the first one. This is the second type. The third type of Hajj is, which is called Ifrad, isolated or singular Hajj. The third type is Ifrad, isolated or singular Hajj. Here, the pilgrim enters the state of Ihram with the intention of doing Hajj only. He is required to make the tawaf upon arrival, which is called Tawaf al-Qudum, Tawaf upon arrival, and remains in Ihram till the end of Hajj. This is the third type. Now, stating a condition. In case the pilgrim fears that which may prevent him from performing Hajj, like illness, genuine fear. In case the pilgrim fears that which may prevent him from performing Hajj, he or she may state the condition which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught to the Ummah when he said, Allahumma mahilli haythu habastani. O Allah, my place is wherever you hold me up. O Allah, my place is wherever you hold me up. And this is an agreed upon hadith. So, if he is prevented or becomes disabled, then he and there is no expiation due upon him or her, and he or she may leave the state of ihram. He or she has to repeat this Hajj if it was his first. Remember, he or she repeats this Hajj if it was his or her first, meaning his or her first what? Obligatory, not optional. Otherwise, if it was optional, there is no need to do so. I will repeat. If the pilgrim is prevented or becomes disabled, then there is no expiation due upon him or her, and he or she may leave the state of ihram. However, they have to repeat the Hajj, they repeat the Hajj if it was the first, meaning their first obligatory Hajj. Otherwise, there is no need to do so in case it was optional. Now to the rituals of Hajj. Day by day, the pilgrim should do the following on the days of Hajj, the actual days of performing the Hajj. Day 8, this is the day of Talbiyah, the day of Talbiyah. Here perform Ihram for Hajj, intention for Hajj. It is recommended to take a bath and oil oneself with scented perfume for men only, and unscented perfume in the case of women. Therefore, day 8, this is called day of Talbiyah. The Hajj, the pilgrim, makes the intention for Hajj. It is recommended to bathe and oil oneself with scented perfume for men only, and unscented perfume in the case of women. And to put on the two sheets of ihram garments. And to put on the two sheets of ihram garments. The Prophet ﷺ exposed his right shoulder and covered his left one during the 7 rounds of tawaf al-qudum, of tawaf of arrival. This is known as ittiba'. This is known as ittiba'. I repeat, the Prophet ﷺ, when he put the garments, the ihram, he exposed his right shoulder and covered his left one during the 7 rounds of tawaf al-qudum, the tawaf of arrival. This is known ittiba'. After this tawaf, the pilgrim covers both shoulders. When he finishes the tawaf, takes the garment and covers both shoulders. Woman may put on any dress. Woman may put on any dress as long as it is loose, not beautified, does not imitate the dress of men and or that of the kuffar, not see through, covers the whole body except face and hands. When she covers in the presence, she can cover in the presence of non-mahram men. The belief that woman's dress must be white or green is an innovation. I'll repeat. Woman may put on any dress as long as it is loose, not beautified, does not imitate the dress of men and or that of kuffar, not see through, covers the whole body except face and hands, which she covers in the presence of non-mahram men. The belief that woman's dress must be white or green is an innovation. We continue. So let's repeat. Ihram to perform Hajj on day 8. Recommended to bath and oil oneself with scented perfume for male and unscented for woman. Put on the two sheets of ihram garments, and we talk about the details, and a pair of stitched or unstitched sandals or footwear that does not cover the ankles if he does not find sandals or the like. I repeat, concerning the footwear, a pair of stitched or unstitched sandals or footwear that does not cover the ankles if he does not find sandals or alike. Now, what about the intention of ihram? We said on this day he has to make the intention. The intention of ihram for making Umrah, Hajj, or Umrah and Hajj is by reciting the Talbiyah. لبيك اللهم بحج وعمرة, or by عمرة. Here I am, O Allah, I am answering your call, making Hajj and Umrah, or making Umrah as has preceded with the details. He does not say anything like, I intend to make Hajj and Umrah, remember. He doesn't say, I intend to make Hajj and or Umrah, so make it easy for me, O Allah. Because this is not the practice of the Prophet والسلام, and it is an innovation. This is how he enters the state of Ihram, by making the Talbiyah. لبيك اللهم حجا وعمرة, or عمرة, depending on his type of Hajj. The pilgrim then begins the Talbiyah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a loud voice, saying the Talbiyah, لبيك اللهم لبيك, لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك, إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. The pilgrim leaves to Mina, where he prays now in Mina. He prays Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr. The four rak'ah prayers are shortened to two rak'ah, but the prayers are not combined. I will repeat. The pilgrim leaves to Mina on this eighth day, where he prays Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr. The four rak'ah prayers are shortened to two rak'ah, but the prayers are not combined. Day 9, going to Arafat. Day 9, after sunrise, number 1, after sunrise, the pilgrim, while making Talbiyah, لبيك اللهم لبيك, leaves for Arafat, where combined and shortened Dhuhr and Asr prayers should be performed in the time of Dhuhr. After sunrise, the pilgrim, while making Talbiyah, leaves for Arafat, where combined and shortened Dhuhr and Asr prayers should be performed in the time of Dhuhr. Second, standing, wukuf, on Arafat starts after the sun passes its zenith and after performing the Dhuhr and Asr prayer as said earlier. The wukuf on Arafat starts after the sun passes its zenith and after performing the Dhuhr and Asr prayers. All of Arafat is a station area except for the plain of Urana. And you will have signs. You will see signs which tells you, makes it clear to you the boundaries of Arafat. So it's easy to recognize whether you are in or out. 3. While on Arafat, the Muslim should do his best in remembrance of Allah, making dhikr, asking forgiveness, and making dua. 4. After sunset, the pilgrim leaves with calmness and tranquility for Muzdalifah. And there in Muzdalifah, the pilgrim prays Maghrib and Isha, delayed, combined, and shortened. I repeat. In Muzdalifah, he prays Maghrib and Isha, delayed, combined, and shortened. The Muslim stays the night at Muzdalifah until Fajr. The Muslim stays the night at Muzdalifah until Fajr. The weak, old, and the disabled may leave Muzdalifah to Mina after midnight, the weak, the old, and the disabled may leave Muzdalifah to Mina after midnight. It is better, however, if they stay till Fajr. It is better, however, if they stay till Fajr. Note that the petals for stoning the Jamarat may be collected in Muzdalifah, or on the way to Mina, or in Mina. Now they are available in Mina. And also it should be noted that washing the petals is an innovation. Washing the petals is an innovation. Day 10, which is the day of the Eid, day 10, the pilgrim performs Fajr prayer in Muzdalifah, and abundantly remembers Allah and invokes upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslim collects 7 petals, the size of chickpeas, while in Muzdalifah, or on his way to Mina, or in Mina. While in Mina, the following should be performed. When they arrive to Mina, the following should be performed. Number 1, stoning Jamratul Aqaba, which is the closest to Mecca direction. Stoning Jamratul Aqaba, which is closest to Mecca, with 7 small stones, saying Takbir Allahu Akbar with each throw. Stoning Jamratul Aqaba, which is closest to Mecca, with 7 small stones, saying Takbir Allahu Akbar with each throw. 2, slaughtering the sacrifice for those making type 1 Hajj, which is type of enjoyable Hajj, Hajj al-Tamattu, or the second type, which is the Qiran, the combined. And the sacrifice takes place after sunrise and in Mina, in Mecca, or any place within the sanctuary area. The sacrifice can take place any place in the sanctuary area, in Mecca, in Mina, after sunrise. The Muslim may eat from this meat and should give from it to the poor. C. Clips or shaves, and shaving is better. Clipping or shaving the head, and shaving is better for men. As for the woman, the woman takes off the size of a fingertip, which is almost half an inch of hair, from each of her braids. The woman takes off the size of a fingertip, half inch of hair, from each of her braids. Following these acts, stoning, sacrifice, and shaving or clipping, the pilgrim is in his first state of leaving ihram. The pilgrim is in his first state of leaving ihram, and this is called the first tahallul. This is called the first tahallul, whereby every lawful thing is permissible for him except sexual intercourse with his wife. This is called at-tahallul al-awwal. Tahallul means leaving ihram. This is the first degree tahallul, whereby every lawful thing is permissible for him except sexual intercourse with his wife. D. The pilgrim goes down to Mecca to perform tawaf al-ifada, which is called tawaf al-hajj. This is the major tawaf. This is the tawaf of hajj. It is permissible to delay this tawaf and perform it during the days of Tashriq or after. The days of Tashriq, we learned about them, 11, 12 and 13. It is permissible to delay this tawaf and perform it during the days of Tashriq or after. According to some scholars, it may also be combined with the farewell tawaf. It also may be combined with tawaf al-wada, the farewell tawaf, meaning performing one tawaf, seven circuits around Kaaba for both purposes. E. This tawaf, which is the tawaf of Hajj, is followed by sa'i between Safa and Marwa for those who intend the first type of Hajj, which is Hajj al-Tamattu', the enjoyable Hajj, or those performing either one of the two other types and who did not perform the sa'i when they performed their tawaf of arrival. This is a very important benefit. This tawaf is followed by sa'i between Safa and Marwa for those who intended the enjoyable Hajj, which is tamattu', or those performing either one of the two other types and who did not perform the sa'i when they performed their tawaf of arrival. Now they can perform it. F. The pilgrim then goes to Mina to stay the 11th and the 12th nights, shortening prayers but not combining them. The pilgrim goes to Mina to stay the 11th and the 12th nights, shortening prayers but not combining them. These are the actions of day 10. Days 11 and 12, stoning the Jamarat. Stoning the Jamarat. Day 11. After the sun passes its zenith, the pilgrims stone the three Jamarat, each with seven stones, saying takbir with each throw. Following the stoning of the small and the middle Jamara only, the pilgrim faces the Qibla and makes dua. I will repeat. Following the stoning of the small and the middle Jamarat only, the pilgrim faces the Qibla and makes dua. And you will have signs that this is the Jamratul Aqaba, and this is the middle one, and this is the small one. You will have signs. Everything is clear and obvious. Day 12. The pilgrim stones the three Jamarat in the same manner as on day 11. The pilgrims may then leave Mina before sunset, or they may stay in Mina the night of day 13, and this is better, and perform the stoning as earlier for those who stay on the 13th. Now, those who want to leave to their home towns or countries may do so after performing the farewell tawaf. Those who want to leave to their home or hometowns or countries may do so after performing the farewell tawaf. Women going, having their menses or in nifas, postpartum bleeding, are excused from the farewell tawaf. There remains the following reminders. Number one, Salah, prayer in Mina from day 10, which is the Eid day, until day 13 may be shortened, except of course Maghrib and Fajr, and performed in their prescribed times, meaning not combined. Salah, prayer in Mina from Eid day, day 10, until day 13 must be shortened and performed in their prescribed times, meaning not combined. Second, climbing Mount Arafat and fasting the day of Arafat why the pilgrims are not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Climbing Mount Arafat and fasting the day of Arafat by the pilgrims are not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Third, an animal sacrifice, a sheep or a goat, may be sacrificed by a pilgrim or on his behalf, whereas a cow or a camel may be shared by 7 persons. This is the sacrifice, okay? An animal sacrifice is a duty on the one who performs type 1, enjoyable Hajj, or type 2, which is combined Hajj, and it is offered on the Eid day on day 10 or during the following 3 days of Tashriq, 11, 12, and 13. And the sacrifice, sheep or goat, may be sacrificed by the pilgrim or on his behalf, whereas a cow or a camel may be shared by 7 persons. Fourth, the best supplication offered on the day of Arafat is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. There is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah alone, without any partners. To Him belongs the kingdom, and all praise is due to Him, and He is able to do all things. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Fifth, the pilgrim must not perform any special prayer for ihram or upon his entrance to the holy mosque in Mecca, where he is supposed to immediately start his tawaf of arrival. I repeat, the pilgrim must not perform any special prayer for ihram or upon his entrance to the holy mosque in Mecca, where he is supposed to immediately start his tawaf of qudum, start the tawaf of qudum, of arrival. Six, the pilgrim must remember Allah, praise Him, and make dua while in tawaf, while in sa'i, while in Arafah, or on Arafah, while in Mina, or Muzdalifah, and while on Hajj, without innovations. The last thing is the reward. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the reward for a Hajj mabrur is nothing less than paradise. What is the meaning of mabrur? Free from sins, transforming the status of the person such that his state after performing the Hajj is better than that before it. Such level of Hajj is attainable by Allah's leave with piety and uprightness according to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is therefore rewarded by Allah. The reward for the Hajj al-Mabrur, this is the meaning of Mabrur now, is nothing less than paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to perform this type of Hajj al-Mabrur and admit us to al-Jannah by His grace. And may Allah accept the Hajj of the Muslims. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salah and salam be upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Now, there remains the following important reminder. Point of caution. تنبيه إلى الإخوة المسلمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يلفت انتباه الإخوة المسلمين أن هناك كتاب اسم الكتاب دليل الحج والعمرة تأليف أنيس أند داود ماثيوز، يحوي على دعوة شركية ومخالفات عقدية ومنهجية خطيرة تخالف عقيدة التوحيد والاتباع الصحيح للسنة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I would like to warn the Muslims that a book entitled, quote, A Guide for Hajj and Umrah, end of quote, by Anis and Dawood Matthews, A-N-I-S and D-A-U-D Matthews, contains a call for shirk through which people will be encouraged to seek help and aid from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by calling upon people to travel to visit his grave and call upon him there. It contains numerous innovations and corrupt concepts like, quote, the night of Muzdalifah is 1,000 times better than the night of Al-Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, the pre-decree or the decree night, and many other practices. Since this book is published, therefore, it's important to caution regarding it. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.